Welcome back. It is the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Kind of a funky day for us with ASU basketball in the middle of the day, but certainly a great opportunity for us as well to get caught up with the newest member of the Phoenix Suns and a story that really had us hopping yesterday and the day before. Joining us right now from the team hotel there in Sacramento, California, where they're getting ready to take on the Kings tomorrow night, the newest member of the Suns, Jimmer Fredette, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Jimmer, I'm Dave. This is Gambo. Welcome to the Suns. Welcome to the Valley. And welcome to the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, a lot of people are excited, Jimmer. I mean, so many people are excited to see you play. You know, when I broke the story that you were coming back and signing with the Suns, I never imagined it would get as big as it did. I think I did five interviews with radio stations out in the Utah area, and so many people were just commenting. So many people just happy to see you back. You were a legend at BYU, a college basketball legend, but you get an opportunity here to get your NBA career back on track. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. You know, obviously, being out of the league for 3 years over in China and, about now being 30 years old, I mean, not a lot of guys get a second opportunity to be able to come back and play at that time in their career. So I'm just extremely grateful. You know, I've worked hard and continue to try to come back to the NBA and find an opportunity, find a place out of that fits my skill set. And I feel like, this team will allow me to do that. So I'm very excited and grateful for the opportunity and hope I can help this team in any way that I possibly can.
Take me back to the decision in 2016. You were in the NBA for 5 years. You played in 235 games. You're with a few different teams, right? Sacramento, Chicago, New Orleans, the Knicks. What made you decide to go play in China?
At that point, that was definitely by far my best option. You know, I just felt at that point I needed to kind of get away, from the NBA. You know, I had just been, cut waived by the San Antonio Spurs, and, it was kind of just, my phone wasn't really ringing with NBA teams at that time. So I feel like it was a good opportunity for me to go overseas and to play, and obviously had some offers over in EuroLeague and also in China. And I just felt like Shanghai was the best fit for myself and, went over there and tried to take advantage of it as much as I possibly could and embrace myself in the culture and in the basketball. And fortunately, it worked out better than I could have ever expected and had a great 3 years over there and was grateful for that part of my career that's really helped me become the person and player that I am today.
Sounds like you really enjoyed your time over there. Yes?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's pluses and minuses, obviously, from living in China. It's very different than living in the USA. But I was in Shanghai, which is by far the best city, I think, in China to live in as a foreigner. You can find great food and, much more like a New York City vibe compared to some of the other cities that you go to, which is very much more Western and not many people speak English and that type of stuff. So, the people embraced me. They were so great to my family, to my wife and my little girl and myself. So, I mean, I am grateful for that.
What about your game got better in China? What about your game were you happy with that evolved when you were in China during your years there?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is, me being able to play off the basketball. That was something that I, wasn't very good at coming out of college. I'd always played on the ball. Point guard and kind of had the ball in my hands a lot. So being able to go to China allowed me to play off the ball a lot in a lot of meaningful games and a lot of meaningful minutes and really, really get better at that skill set. And I think that's something that's only going to help me in the NBA, being able to play both now on the ball, off the ball, and feel comfortable in both of those roles. And I feel like today's day and age, if you're just a basketball player and just a guard that can help you, that can play multiple positions and shoot the ball, on and off the ball screen and different things like that. So I think that is something I really worked on.
Newest Phoenix Sun, Jimmer Fredette, joins us on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So your work off the ball has got better. When you look back at your first 5 years in the NBA, was that one of the only things that prevented you from being able to stay in the NBA? Were there other issues that really hurt you in those first 5 years?
No, I mean, I think there are not. No, I don't think that was the only thing. I think that you know, I just wasn't in the right situation for myself at that time, you know, and so it happens to a lot of guys in the NBA, you know, if you're not, a star, a guy that's playing a ton of minutes every single night, you know, you got to fight for your life every single day. And sometimes, it doesn't work out for you at that time. And, that was kind of the case with me. You know, obviously people always knock on my defense and that type of stuff. But, I've continued to mature and get stronger and get better at that end of the floor for sure. And I believe that I can play within a system and, do better defensively than I think what people think. So I always continue to work on that, keep getting better at that, obviously. But I think, you know, there was different things that kind of prevented me from succeeding in the first time, but, hopefully I can correct those and, be able to succeed here.
You know, one of the things that the Suns were excited about is that, you know, you just got done playing in China, so there's no real work. They're going to be able to get you in right away and get you playing, and they're very much looking forward to see what you could do, to see if you could be a part of this team for next year. You do only have 9 games. How much can you accomplish in so little time?
You know, I think you can accomplish a lot. I mean, you know, I don't think necessarily it's all about what you do on the basketball court. You know, I think that there is definitely, other things that you can show and show your worth off the court as well. Just being a veteran guy that can come in and be a pro every single day and be able to kind of show some of the younger guys what it's like to be a professional basketball player, you know, in the NBA and what you need to do each and every single day to succeed and to try to bring a winning mentality and winning culture. So I think all those things and being a good guy, good teammate, and then getting on the floor and then hopefully playing extremely well and shooting the basketball well and making plays on the floor will all be a good recipe for success. But, I'm just going to be myself. I'm going to do everything that I can, put my best foot forward, and then whatever happens will happen.
Jimmer, I'm sure you looked at the schedule when you decided to sign with the Phoenix Suns for the rest of the season and a team option for next year, and you saw that on Monday the Suns are playing at Utah. What will that mean for you playing in Utah?
Yeah, it's always fun. I mean, like I said, it's kind of funny. It's like a mini reunion tour for me because I started my career in Sacramento, and that's the first game of play, and then in Utah, obviously, where I had so many great memories and at college. So it's always fun to play in Utah. You know, I've been there several times in the NBA, but it never gets old. It's fun to see the fans. There'll be a lot of fans that really like my game and enjoy it, but there's a lot of University of Utah fans out there that'll boo me and everything, too. So it's kind of an interesting atmosphere that we'll see. But it's been a lot of fun and excited to be able to get back to Utah.
Jimmer Fredette, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. I do not use this word lightly, and yet I think it's totally accurate. You were a phenomenon when you were in the NBA and when you were a player at BYU. When you were overseas, and I'm going to ask you to not be very modest when you answer this question, were you a phenomenon there too? I mean, your levels of popularity here were off the chart. Was it the same way in Shanghai, or were you more just another basketball player when you were there?
No, definitely people really latched on to myself and our team, I think, when I got there. The Sharks, when I got there, hadn't made the playoffs in about 6 or 7 seasons. And, you know, the fan base was kind of down on the team a little bit. And, I was able to come in and brought another guy in, Rashawn Ubaselli, who plays for the Celtics now. And us two were able to help our team become, you know, the first place team in the league. And people started to see that we were winning and beating, you know, some of the best teams in China that they hadn't beaten in a long time. And because of that, the fans started to come back. They started to get really interested in the team. And, you know, that season I was able to win MVP. So I had a great year. And, you know, people really, really latched on and enjoyed that ride. And, you know, the last 3 years have been great. So definitely the fans out there have been crazy. I have a lot of them, which is awesome. And I appreciate all the fans and support that I have been able to get out in China and here in the U.S.
What was your favorite part about the ride your first time around when you were an NBA player, when you were at BYU, all the Jimmermania, all the craziness, all those couple years? When you look back on those years, what stands out to you as some of the memories from that?
Yeah, I've had a lot of great memories. I mean, a lot of things that are fun. Obviously, at BYU, being able to make a Sweet 16 with our team was something that was special, something that BYU hadn't done you know, 35 years. And, you know, so that was unbelievably special and a lot of fun. And winning National Player of the Year is awesome. You know, being able to play in the NBA and just play against some of your idols and role models is something that have been was a great experience. And, you know, I had my career high was in Madison Square Garden, so that was a special night playing in front of that those fans and, you know, having a great game. And, you know, different things like that that you remember, that's a lot of fun. But I plan on making hopefully a lot more great memories here in the next coming years.
You made, I think you scored 42 your first night in China, and I believe there was a game you scored 73 in a basketball game playing there. What was that like?
Yeah, for sure. It was special. I was able to score over 70 twice in China, and you know, to be able to do that is you know, something that's special. And you know, it's kind of surreal. You know, you don't really think about it. You know, while in the moment, you're just kind of playing basketball, trying to win the game, and you know, the basket just looks huge, and you just see that ball keep going in, and you know, my teammates obviously were doing a great job. They said, you know, screening for me and trying to get me open as much as they could. Just because they knew that I was feeling it that those couple of nights, and they're just like, you know, we're just going to let you go. And, you know, so it's definitely something to look back on and be like, those were special, special nights. You know, so you know, that definitely doesn't happen often, but, you know, it was definitely a lot of fun.
Jimmer, I'm curious. You know, I'm sure you've always been wanting to get back in the NBA. You get the opportunity with the Phoenix Suns. Was Phoenix your only opportunity, or were there some other teams looking at you as well?
You know, I think my agent was talking with, you know, a couple of other teams, but nothing, you know, super concrete, like the Suns did. You know, the Suns were a team that came and really just showed interest right from the beginning and were like, hey, we really want to make this happen. What can we do? And, you know, so since we had that, we were really, you know, very excited about that and just, started to talk with them, you know, as seriously as we possibly could. And felt like it was a great fit, you know, for myself at this time. So, you know, so we really pursued that as much as we possibly could and obviously made sure that it happened.
Jimmer Fredette joining us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. So what have the Suns told you about your role, your minutes, what they expect you to do over these last nine games? What are your expectations going into these last 10 games of the season or so?
You know, no, I'm not positive. Obviously, I know what they want me to do. They want me to go in and score the basketball, shoot it, and be able to make plays. You know, they know that I can do that. They know that that's something that that I can bring, and they want me to be aggressive and play my game. And you know, as far as minutes and all that stuff, I'm not sure. That's obviously up to coach, but I do know that you know, I'll be prepared and I'll be ready whenever he does call my name. So we'll see exactly how that happens, but I'm just excited to be here and be able to help in any way that I possibly can.
Oh, can't wait to watch you play. So many people excited about that. You were an absolute star in China. 4-month season, I know you liked that, but you were a star there. If it is just a role player in the NBA, a guy coming off the bench playing 15, 18 minutes a game, can you be satisfied with that?
Yeah, of course. You know, I think, you know, being over, you know, in China was a great opportunity and I had a lot of fun and everything, but I would like to continue to compete against the best players in the world. Just being a competitive person and being in the greatest league in the world, I would love to be able to continue to do that. And, you know, I think that I can provide that type of a spark and everything off the bench. And, you know, if that's going to be my role, then I'll do it to the best of my ability and be able to be here and live with my family and my little girl and my wife and my new baby boy that we're expecting soon. So, I mean, to be able to be here and living with them is, you know, the most important thing for me. And because I wasn't able to do that the whole 3 years over in China, they could only come out and visit. So, I mean, being able to do that as well as being able to compete against the best in the world is something that, you know, I'd love to do.
Well, congratulations on the impending birth of your boy. That's going to be very exciting for you. We're all very excited to see how this is going to work and how this looks. Again, congratulations on getting back into the NBA and being with the Suns, and we look forward to seeing how it all turns out. Thanks, Jimmer.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys. Appreciate having me on.
Thanks, Jimmer.
Jimmer Fredette joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line.
How do you not like that kid?
Oh, no, he's easy to like.
How do you not root for him? He is easy to like. Great kid. Oh, listen, something to root for, right? Oh. I mean, something to root for.
Something to watch, something, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and root for. I hope he can make it. I mean,
sure, of course. I'm not rooting against him. I'm curious to see how it all turns out. So ASU is out So besides your bracket, there's really only one thing left for Valley basketball fans to look forward to during the NCAA tournament. We'll tell you what that is, though I think you already know, next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You must learn.
It's the Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know metal window frames conduct heat right into your home? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
Let's drop this knowledge on you. Games that are in progress right now in the tournament. It looks like Washington might join Oregon, potentially, as Pac-12 teams winning in the tournament today. Not ASU, obviously, with their loss earlier to Buffalo. Right now, Washington, the 9 seed, is beating 8-seeded Utah State 51-39.
In control of that game. Watching that one right now. In control of it. So, could get two Pac-12 wins today. Oregon already won. If Washington pulls this out, that would be two wins for the conference.
Still 12 minutes to go in that game. Duke is holding on to a slim 4-point lead over the 16 seed North Dakota State.
Let's go North Dakota State.
Halftime. Really? What the hell?
My bracket sucks. My bracket's so bad right now, it doesn't matter.
The state of your bracket, you've already reached that point where you just don't give a crap anymore? Great.
Give me the upsets.
At halftime, 3-seeded Houston is beating Georgia State 40-31.
I think I picked that one.
And yeah, with 3.5 to go in the first half, Liberty, the 12, is beating Mississippi State, the 5, 29-26. Earlier today, and I'm going back to my scoreboard from earlier today, we can say that Oregon won. They beat Wisconsin, the 12-seeded Oregon
Ducks.
They
handled them pretty easily,
yeah,
too.
They did. They had a really good game. They played really well. And now they'll play UC Irvine, which means this is like the 12th straight year a double-digit seed will go on to the Sweet 16, because UC Irvine's a 13, Oregon's a 12. UC Irvine, in what has been, I guess, the upset of the tournament so far, right? They beat K-State, the 4 seed, 70-64. A 17-game win streak for the Anteaters, their first tournament win in school history. Iowa beat Cincinnati earlier today. That's a 10 over a 7. Oklahoma crushed Ole Miss, 95-72. Texas Tech beat Northern Kentucky, 72-57. And Tennessee, a little close against Colgate, but they ended up winning the 2 seed, 77-70. Oh, and Virginia beat Gardner-Webb, 71-56.
They struggled early.
They were down 14 in that game early in the first half.
Man, I don't understand this Virginia team. How do you play so well in a regular season? You get to the NCAA tournament, and you struggle the way you do. It's crazy.
So now that ASU is out, and other than your bracket and trying to win money from your coworkers and your friends,
okay,
you said it when we were getting ready for the show, and man, you are 110% correct. If you're a local basketball fan, there is now one reason for you to be dialed into this tournament if it doesn't have anything to do with your bracket.
His name is Ja Morant. He plays for Murray State.
Talk of sports for the better part of the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I think everybody's seen Zion play a number of times, but there's a lot of people out there that have never seen Murray State and Ja Morant play. Most sports fans have probably seen a Duke game. So from that perspective, I think that's what you're looking for. You're looking for Ja Morant. Is this kid good enough to be drafted by the Suns? Is he an NBA player? Watch him. I mean, he could be the second or third pick in this draft. So, yeah, I mean, that's what you're looking for. I mean, what else do you have to watch? I mean, that's it to me. I mean, you can watch R.J. Barrett, who could be their pick. You can watch the Michigan State point guard, who I like a little bit too, Cassius Winston. But I think the main thing is what Ja Morant did with the triple-double against Marquette, he's got everybody's attention.
Yeah, I mean, you watch because you love basketball and because you love the tournament, and I get all that. But there's no doubt that if you're a Suns fan, and I think you're 100% right, you've seen Zion Williamson a lot this year. And you know what? To be honest, you've probably seen Ja Morant highlights a lot this year. All I have to do is watch SportsCenter, and they've been in love with the guy all year long. They show highlights on SportsCenter all the time of Ja Morant. But a game beginning to end, the first tournament triple-double since Draymond Green back in 2012. The fact that he did it so effortlessly. Yes, he had the 7 turnovers. But to hear the comments after he had the 17, the 16 assists, the 11 rebounds, and the 7 turnovers, quote, "I'll take the assist 10 times out of 10.
I love that.
When asked how he'd rate his performance on a scale of 1 to 5, he only gave himself a 3.5 because of the turnovers. I mean, it's obvious that he's just a different kind of kid. And I think if you hadn't had a chance to watch Ja Morant play in a game from beginning to end, I don't know how you couldn't be absolutely floored by what you saw yesterday in that performance.
You were. You would love to see him do it again and then again. So the further they go, the more look you get at this kid, the more confident you may feel with that pick. I mean, I still think it's a one-player draft, that there's no way that there's any general manager in this league that would take anybody but Zion Williamson, number one, no matter who your power forward is. You're going to take Zion. But this kid could be the second pick in the draft, the third pick in the draft. So, you know, that's the thing. I mean, he's got a chance to make a name for himself in this NCAA tournament. He did in the first game against Marquette. Now, Marquette is a very unathletic team. They don't have a lot of great athletes. But still, he went out there and he put up a triple-double and was fantastic. And he says there's more to do. And now he's talking, and he's, you know, the more notoriety he gets. So, you know, for me, I just want to keep watching him play. That's as a local fan here in Phoenix, that's the number one thing in this NCAA tournament. Murray State goes as far as they can. You get a chance to watch that kid, because just in case the Suns don't get the number one pick and they get two or three, this might be the player.
Well, I don't think there's any question about it that now, tomorrow, if you're a Phoenix Suns basketball fan, and I shame on me, I don't, and Jordan, maybe you can look it up, I don't even know what time Murray State's game is tomorrow. That to me has become the tournament game to watch tomorrow, right? That is the game to watch in the tournament tomorrow on a Saturday. I don't know what time it is. I'm not sure what time they're playing Florida State, but that is now the game. I mean, today's Florida State. Did you see Florida State's coach today, Leonard Hamilton, compared him in basically the same breath to
Magic Johnson?
Nate Archibald, Magic Johnson, and Muggsy Bogues.
Wow.
In like one sentence.
Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah, Muggsy Bogues. Even a player like Muggsy Bogues, who has an uncanny way of making things easy for his teammates. And that's the thing. If you watch that game beginning to end yesterday, and I heard Vinny talking about this earlier, and he's absolutely right. The court vision of Ja Morant is unbelievable. I mean, he just makes passes and sees things. Now, does that force him into trying things that maybe he shouldn't try? The seven turnovers we saw yesterday? Yeah, probably.
3:10 tomorrow, Bernsie.
3:10 tomorrow, our time? Okay, see there, now I know what I'm doing
Florida
at 3 o'clock
State,
tomorrow.
I got Florida State in the Final Four.
Wow. Well,
I do.
You just said it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
have Murray State go all the way.
You know what? I haven't
if
lost.
If you're going to root for Duke to lose, you might as well root for Murray
I've
State
lost
to win.
Four Sweet 16 teams already.
Wow, that's bad.
Now, I still have all my Elite Eight teams and my Final Four teams, but, you know, yeah, I've been here. I do want to see the kid play. Now you're going to play against Florida State. That team's got a lot of athleticism.
Yes, they do.
Okay, and they're going to be able to defend him. Marquette is not athletic. I've got St. John's play him twice. They don't have athletes on that team. They don't have good athletes on that team. Florida State's going to be much different. So if he goes out there and plays extremely well against Florida State, I think that's a big deal. Because, again, that's a much more athletic team that he's going to be playing against. Remember, in that conference that he played, I mean, the competition wasn't great. He averaged over 5 turnovers a game. So now this is when you could if they win that game and they beat Florida State, the next game could be Gonzaga.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some good competition coming up for him right now.
Now, I will say this, and I want to preface this by saying I agree with you 100% that there's no NBA general manager who would take him over Zion Williamson, number one overall. But once upon a time, we didn't feel like Kyler Murray was a lock to be the number one pick in the NFL draft either, and yet here we are, and that is looming as a very strong potential. Things happen. Minds change. Opinions evolve. I don't think they will in this regard, because Zion Williamson, not only is he a tremendous basketball player, the guy's a walking ATM. I mean, he is going to make your franchise a ton of money in merchandising and jersey sales and buzz and all of that stuff. But 2 months ago, nobody thought Kyler Murray could be the top pick in the NFL draft, and he might very well be that. Opinions can change over time. I'll be curious to see if they evolve when it comes to Ja Morant.
Yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say that this one's in the bag for Zion being the number one pick. I mean, I really do. Opinions can change on whether he's the second pick in the draft or the third pick in the draft. Could he go ahead of R.J. Barrett and solidify the number two pick no matter who has the pick? That's possible. I just don't see any movement at number one.
Bobby Hurley seems to have the ASU program, generally speaking, headed in the right direction. But that blowout loss today, is that going to impact the way we remember this team? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. 5:30 here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, live from the best happy hour in Chandler, Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Come on in. Watch the tournament happen. And going until 7 o'clock tonight, half-price appetizers. $3 domestic drafts, $4 domestic big beer drafts, $4 import drafts, $3.50 house wine, half price on all liquor drinks as well. And we got a nice crowd, nice healthy crowd down here to watch a little college basketball, hang out after work on a Friday night. If you want to come down and hang out here, we'll be here for another half hour or so. But the happy hour prices go until 7 o'clock here at Marley's Sports Grill, Chandler Fashion Center. Always a great place to watch the college basketball. Jeff and his crew, we've been coming here for years and years and years. Gambo, they do a tremendous job.
Highly recommend it. You know, if you want to come down and watch the games, you know, tomorrow or Sunday as well, this is a great place to watch all the games.
You can always get yourself the Burns and Gambo burger. It's there on the menu.
It is. I did not have that today.
It's just a plain hamburger, like, but it's there if you want it.
Strawberry salad or something.
Very fancy. We were here, and we have a much shorter show today because of ASU basketball. They lost in their tournament game to Buffalo, and other than the first 8 minutes of the game, which were mostly competitive, beyond that, the game wasn't competitive at all. The last 12 minutes of the first half, the entire second half, ASU proved that they just weren't really worthy of being on the same floor as Buffalo. They killed them 91-74, the final score. Bobby Hurley's team finishes 23-11. Zylan Cheatham, man, it's the one shame of this season, really, in many ways for me. Is
that his career is over with ASU?
I mean, it went by so fast, and he was such a good, in his limited time here, he was such an impactful, meaningful player to that program, and in many ways, it is a shame that it's already over for Zylan Cheatham's career at ASU.
I know. He's here 2 years, but only played the one, and yeah, so he goes, and Lake goes, and we'll see about Dort. I think Dort, you know, my guess is Dort stays. I'd be surprised if he went to the NBA, but he might. He's got an NBA body, and he can defend, and you know, if he shows well, maybe he'll have an opportunity to go to the NBA, but if he comes back, Remy Martin comes back. Romello White comes back. You know, they've got, you know, the Cherry comes back. I think Kamani Lawrence comes back. So there's a lot of good players that would be coming back. So for me, you know, they're set up next year with Eddie House's kid coming in to you know, be able to be competitive again and give them a chance to get to the NCAA tournament again. It's not like they're losing a whole lot of players. You know, last year they lost three really good guards and they rebounded this year. And Remy Martin was a big key to that.
Yeah, I'm looking at their committed class for next year. Jalen House is the cream of the crop, 4-star recruit, 119th best in the nation. According to 24/7 Sports, the recruiting service that I'm looking at right now, another 4-star recruit who's a hard commit in Jalen Graham out of Mountain Point, a center, a 6'9 center. I guess he hasn't signed yet. I'm looking at Sun Devil Source right now. Maybe this needs to be updated. I could be working with dated information. I'm not sure. But look, there's no doubt. As disappointing as today is, and today was just a crushing, hardcore loss, okay, that this program is showing progress. It might not be as fast as people want it to be. It might not be kind of the incremental, rapid progress that we're looking for. This time a year ago, this team was not good enough to beat Syracuse in a first four game. This year around, they were good enough to beat St. John's in a first four game and get to what many consider to be the actual NCAA tournament. It's not a lot of progress, but it's progress. And I assume Bobby Hurley, with more time, will continue to make small, steady steps towards making this program what he wants to be.
Yeah, Rome doesn't build in a day. It doesn't happen overnight. There are a lot of positives to take out of ASU basketball. Making the tournament 2 years in a row. Having a coach that can recruit. Bringing in good players. Like, those are all positive steps. And this is, you know, I mean, years ago when you had Rob Evans, when you have Herb Sendek, you would have killed for an opportunity to go to the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row, whether on the bubble or not. I mean, now you want to take the next step, you know? You want to see, okay, can this team advance in the NCAA tournament? Can they get to the Sweet 16? Can they have having to, we just talked to Jimmer Fredette. His best memory is getting BYU to the Sweet 16, something they hadn't done in like 32 years. So, you know, there is a lot to be said for what they've done so far. I mean, take today out. They got humiliated today. They got embarrassed. They got beat up. It does show that they've got a long way to go. It does. It shows that they still have a long way to go to build this program. But they are making strides. They are getting better. You've got to get better kids in. You've got to get better players in.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be the key. They've got, you know, they've got good players. But they got slaughtered today, and they didn't play well against St. John's, and they didn't play well last year. So, you know, you want to get to the point where you could start playing better in these NCAA tournament games and winning some of these games.
It's almost like if you could somehow, and I know you can't do this, but for future teams, if you could combine the shooting of last year's team with the athleticism and the defense of this year's team, you'd have a team that could make some noise in this tournament. I mean, what was the one thing that screwed up this team largely all year long? They couldn't
shooting.
Shoot. They couldn't
shooting.
Shoot.
Last year they had tons of shooting.
And they didn't have anything else. I mean,
they had Evans, they had Trey Holder, they had Cody Justice,
right.
They had three guys that could shoot.
So if you can take kind of the best parts of the last two seasons of ASU basketball and use that going forward, then I think you have a team that, and a coach certainly, who can get them into the Sweet 16, who can get there one of these days. This team, and they did it again today. I mean, they missed, what, their first 11 three-point shots? They didn't make their first one until there was like 13 minutes left in the game.
I mean, it was just terrible from the 0-for-9 in the first half for the three-pointers. They made their first one with 13 minutes and 40 seconds left. Kamani Lawrence, it was the 45th point. They had missed like 11 or 12 of them, and then he finally hit one. So there was. The shooting was terrible. I mean, it was just awful. I mean, Edwards was missing all of his shots. Dort was missing his shots. So, I mean, it just wasn't a good game. And so that's why you need better players.
Yeah.
Like, you need better players.
And it didn't help either that having to play in that first four game on Wednesday night, you got into Tulsa at 4 o'clock in the morning, tired legs. Nate Oates, the coach of Buffalo, said today after the game, we knew they'd be tired. We expected it. We planned on it. We played a game kind of based around their expected fatigue. And when you're a shooter, and the shooting's been hard enough as it is for ASU this year, but when you're a shooter and your legs go, your shot is the first thing that follows it right out the door. And that they struggled with that today. But they do. They need better shooters, better offensive talent to go along with the defensive intensity and the rebounding that they kind of established this year. I do know this. Had they gone on a big run this year, and I don't think this team was capable of it, but had they gone on that run this year, Bobby Hurley's stock nationally might have gone up a little bit. I don't think you have to worry about that right now.
I think last year, when they had started off was a 10-0 or whatever it was, and they had beaten Kansas, they beat a few good teams,
ranked third in the country.
We were like, oh my god! I mean, Bobby Hurley's not going to be here very long. But then the Pac-12 season started. They didn't have a good Pac-12 season. You know, this year they had another win against Kansas, but then the Pac-12 season they actually did okay. They did fine in the Pac-12 season. They were, you know, a lot of people think the second best team in the Pac-12. They got the bye. They won a game. They lost to Oregon with a chance to go to the finals. So, I mean, that'll be something that you want to do, too. I mean, you want to compete in the Pac-12 every year. That's the first thing. Be one of the top three teams in the Pac-12 every year, at least top four. That gives yourself a chance to get in the NCAA tournament. You know, because if the Pac-12 gets three or four teams in and you're one of the top four teams in the Pac-12, you're giving yourself a chance every year. And that's what you want, a little bit of consistency, a little bit of a run here. Now, you may have a down year when you lose a bunch of seniors and you have to take it on the chin 1 year, but as long as you can rebound the next year with a good recruiting class and get back to being top three or four, I think that's where ASU needs to be.
Quick scores from games in progress. Halftime, 5-seed Mississippi State beating 12-seed Liberty by 2, 37-35. Houston, the 3-seed, is beating 14th-seeded Georgia State, 52-35. About 16 minutes to go in that game. 12 minutes to go. Number 1 Duke is beating 16th-seed North Dakota State, 58-35.
Yeah, they broke out a can of whoop-ass on North Dakota State.
They sure did.
I don't think North Dakota State has scored in a while.
And 5 minutes to go in the game. 9th-seeded Washington, once again carrying that banner for the Pac-12 along with Oregon now, up on Utah State by 10 points, 65-55 with about 5.5 to go there. So perhaps two wins for the Pac-12. Pac-12 today.
Yeah, you know, and it's money. Like, when you win, it's the conference gets money.
Money for everybody in the conference.
Everybody gets money. Yeah. So you want, you know, from a Pac-12 perspective, you may root against these teams, but it does mean extra money for each school.
His signing caught everyone's attention, but now that he's officially with the Suns, what is Jimmer Fredette's role going to be with the Suns? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambador, Dave Burns, hanging out with you on this Friday afternoon. Again, our thanks to the folks here at Marley's. And if in your car and you're somewhere in the East Valley, happy hour here until 7 o'clock. Half-price appetizers, $3 domestic drafts, $4 domestic big beer drafts, $4 import drafts. All going on right now at happy hour. The best happy hour in Chandler here at Marley's Sports Grill. And it goes until 7 o'clock. They've got all the tournament games going on right now. And look forward to having you come down here. Jimmer Fredette will make his Suns debut tomorrow against the Sacramento Kings.
And then Monday on the road against the Utah Jazz.
Oh my God, that's going to be crazy. Yeah, we were fortunate enough to have Jimmer on the show earlier. I hope you had a chance to listen to it. Jimmer's a good guy. Obviously, he's got a lot of personality. We've said it many times. We'll say it again. I didn't realize, and neither did you, how big of a deal Jimmer Fredette still is to basketball fans in this country. With news of him signing with the Suns, it was a news frenzy there for a while. I was surprised it got that kind of reaction.
It was. I think I honestly did like 5 radio interviews in Utah, you know, and it did. It just blew up. I mean, it was picked up, you know, nationally, Sports Illustrated, and ESPN. Yeah, he is. I mean, the kid was a sensation. 4 years at BYU, led him to the Sweet 16, was the Player of the Year. I mean, you know, he was Jimmer Fredette, nothing but net. I mean, he was a great, great, great college basketball player. And people want to see him do well. And, he flamed out in the NBA, 5 years in the league, didn't really amount to very much. And people want to see him get back. They want to see him be successful. And so now we're going to get that opportunity here with the Suns.
He was asked today by us what it means to get another NBA shot like he's getting now.
It means a lot. You know, obviously, being out of the league for 3 years over in China and, about now being 30 years old. I mean, not a lot of guys get a second opportunity to be able to come back and play at that time in their career. So I'm just extremely grateful. You know, I've worked hard and continue to try to come back to the NBA and find an opportunity, find a place out of that fits my skill set. And I feel like, this team will allow me to do that. So I'm very excited and grateful for the opportunity and hope I can help this team in any way that I possibly can.
And you asked in particular that he's got 9 games now to kind of show the Suns what he can do. Is 9 games enough?
Oh, I think you can accomplish a lot. I mean, I don't think necessarily it's all about what you do on the basketball court. You know, I think that there is definitely, other things that you can show and show your worth off the court as well. Just being a veteran guy that can come in and be a pro every single day and be able to kind of show some of the younger guys what it's like to be a professional basketball player, in the NBA and what you need to do each and every single day to succeed and to try to bring a winning mentality and winning culture.
But again, in 9 games, it's going to be more about what he can show on the floor than the professionalism and the leadership that he shows off of it. He's got to do some things here in these next 9 games.
Yeah, you hope he does overall. You know, can he practice well? Can he, can he show them through, there's 9 games left, but there's 20 days left in the season. So you've got 20 days to show your professionalism, on the court, off the court, practices, meetings, whatever they have, to show that you're a true professional. But obviously, the games that he plays in, I mean, they told him, like, you're a scorer. Like, score the basketball.
Yeah.
So now, does that mean he's going to jack up every shot? No, he's got to prove that he could be a playmaker. He's got to be, you don't come in here and just like, every time I get the ball, I'm going to shoot, because they're not looking for that either. They're looking for him to fit in. Fit in, yeah, you get a wide open shot, we want you to take it. But we don't want you to force shots. We want you to fit into what the team scheme is.
And that's why I was kind of interested to see what he would say when, he's played the last 3 years for the Shanghai Sharks in China. What part of his game got better in China?
I think the biggest thing for me is, me being able to play off the basketball. That was something that I, wasn't very good at coming out of college. I'd always played on the ball, point guard and know, kind of had the ball in my hands a lot. So being able to go to China allowed me to play off the ball a lot in a lot of meaningful games and a lot of meaningful minutes and really, really get better at that skill set. And I think that that's something that's only going to help me in the NBA, being able to play both now on the ball, off the ball, and feel comfortable in both of those roles.
We talked to Kevin Pelton about that yesterday, and we talked about kind of the different player Jimmer Fredette can be now that he's not going to be asked to handle the ball all the time and jack up the ball all the time. I mean, he's what he learned to do in China, he probably is going to have to do some in these 9 games with the Suns.
Yeah, he's listen, they don't have a point guard, so he can handle the ball, he can play point. So I expect that, you know, there's going to be times when he pushes the ball up the court, you know, and creates. So they're going to look to him. And listen, he's a combo. I mean, just like Tyler Johnson and Devin Booker is a combo too, right? He can handle the ball. So that's what he is. I mean, there'll be times when he's got to handle the ball.
I think he's going to play a lot of that Tyler Johnson type role where sometimes he is the point guard, sometimes he's not the point guard, but he's a guy who can certainly handle it. What have the Suns told him about the role that he's going
to
play?
I'm not positive. Obviously, I know what they want me to do. They want me to go in and score the basketball, shoot it, and be able to make plays. You know, they know that I can do that. They know that that's something that that I can bring, and they want me to be aggressive and play my game. And you know, as far as minutes and all that stuff, I'm not sure. That's obviously up to coach, but I do know that you know, I'll be prepared and I'll be ready whenever he does call my name. So we'll see exactly how that happens. But I'm just excited to be here and be able to help in any way that I possibly can.
I got to imagine he's going to get minutes. There's 9 games left. This team is down so many
bodies out.
Right,
Tyler
now.
Johnson, Josh Jackson got hurt, right? I mean,
he sprained his ankle in the third quarter. Yep.
Yeah. So I would think he's going to get these opportunities. I don't know. Like, I was, you know, I was estimating, you know, 15 to 20 minutes a game is what I was estimating. You got to play him. Like, you got to find out what you have in him. There's nothing left in the season to play for outside of, you know, trying to win a couple of games to feel good about yourself but developing players and stuff. You want to get a look at him. Is he a guy that can be, you know, worth a role, being one of the role players off the bench next year?
It's funny. If the Suns had signed some garden variety guy to a 10-day contract or signed a garden
Spalding
variety guy. Yeah, like let's say Spalding, okay?
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. I mean, nothing against Mr. Spalding. I'm sure he's a good human being. But nobody, we're not obsessing over how many minutes he gets. And I wonder if the Suns will treat Jimmer Fredette like Jimmer Fredette, or if they'll treat him like Spalding. You know, because the resume would suggest...
treat him like Jimmer Fredette.
The resume would suggest he's no better than Spalding, right? But because he's Jimmer Fredette, and because he's got
nothing but net,
because he's got that it factor with him, I tend to agree with you. I don't think they're going to treat him like Spalding. I think they're going to treat him like Jimmer Fredette, and I think they're going to, like a guy signed on a 10-day contract, he'd be lucky to get 5 minutes per game, right?
Nothing against
not Jimmer Fredette.
Nothing against Spalding. That guy never did what Jimmer Fredette did at the college ranks. 4 years, Sweet 16, National Player of the Year.
But I know, but we're talking about a guy who's been out of the league for 3 years now.
And scored 70 twice in China. Was the MVP in China. Like it's not like he hasn't been playing. I mean, he's been playing. He's ready to go. Listen, I hope the kid lights it up. I do. I hope we're sitting here at the end of the season and like, Jimmer Fredette, he's a part of the plan for next year.
Jimmer Fredette, nothing but net.
I do. I mean, I hope he doesn't. I hope we're not talking about him shooting 20% from three-point range and turning the ball over a lot when it's, that was a failed experiment. It might be. I mean, he played 5 years in the NBA. Sometimes it is about situation. Sometimes it is about being in the right spot.
Full edition of the Rundown with Luke Lipinski is coming up next. We're back with you on Monday at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone.